Turn with me this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the Scripture this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive it. I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. At this accounting, Jesus and his disciples are sitting around a table sharing a Passover meal. On that table sitting before them is what's left of a roasted lamb. There are some herbs. There are some unleavened bread and there's wine. Jesus has given a new sacrament. He's taught the disciples of this new covenant in his blood. And also, he's had an interchange with Judas Iscariot. And Judas has now left the meeting. He's left the gathering. The time of the Lord's suffering is fast approaching. And this is an intimate and solemn gathering. This moment. Jesus, knowing that his suffering is coming, that his time on earth is closing quickly, makes the most of his time, as he always did. You know, the Lord never wasted a moment. I said, how did he manage that? We waste more time than we can imagine. But Jesus never wasted anything. Everything was had a purpose to it. And we can imagine the Lord lifting the cup of wine and looking at the brothers and saying to them, I am the true vine. The disciples were all good Jews. They came from different backgrounds. He had a lot of fishermen there, had a tax collector in the group. But they were Jews who had some training, some upbringing, some education. And they would not be unfamiliar with the metaphor that Jesus uses. Because in the Old Testament, the prophets would refer to Israel very often as a vine. You go to Psalm 80 or Isaiah 5 or Jeremiah 2 or many other scriptures, and you can find Israel being referred to as a vine. As a side note, you'll never see Israel being referred to as a fig tree. But you do see them, see Israel being referred to as a vine. And Jesus is saying, it's not the vine from which this wine is derived. And it's not the nation of Israel. He says, it's me. I am the real vine. You ever think about growing grapes? I don't know, you think about growing all kinds of things. I know at least a couple of you try to do gardens every year and whatnot. The grape, the vine, you have this main stalk that goes into the ground and comes up, of which the root is a vital part of that vine. The root grows way down deep into the ground, into that, and it gives the plant stability. You know, I looked up a little bit about planting grapes, and they said if you're going to do it, make sure you get a plant that's at least a year old. or take a cutting from another healthy plant. But one thing they said it was important, and this is totally probably meaningless, but it made a significant little impact on my pea brain. Said, when you take that cutting, make sure that cutting has at least 3 knobs in it. And I said, what a great Trinitarian image. Yeah. You plant that stalk into the ground that way. Through that root, not only does that root digging down give stability to the plant, but it's where the nutrients are absorbed. That makes it a healthy plant. And then up through the vine flows the sap, that lifeblood of the plant. It's the sap flowing through there that gives the branches the power to produce fruit. Jesus is telling us that we have work to do. But he's also reminding us that he is the power source. That he is the stabilizer. And then he says, his father is the vine dresser. His father is the farmer. He is the one who tills the ground. The one who tends to the branches. To ensure that the plant is productive. And I would say he is a very busy vine dresser. He says in the second verse, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. This can be a troubling verse. What is meant by in me? How can a branch in me be taken away? Calvin asked, can anyone who is engrafted in Christ be without fruit? We know that Jesus has already said and assured us in the 6th chapter of this gospel that those who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. That those who are his can't be lost. So why would he say here that every branch that does not produce fruit, the Father takes away? Do you know, there are many Christians who have literally tortured their own minds with the notion that they are barren branches. They'll say to themselves, they'll say to others, I don't see any fruit. I don't see any production. There's nothing going on out there. And, you know, that is not something that we should take lightly. If we make such a statement, we shouldn't be flippant about it. We shouldn't just say, well, I'm not bearing anything. I'm not producing anything. But neither should we assume to be the producers. If by not seeing fruit, we mean we're not winning souls, I'd ask you, how do you know? How do you know? Wasn't there a big argument in Corinth? Didn't Paul have to go in and say, listen, you guys are all bragging about who your superstar is that you're following. He says, but you know what? We all do different work. One plants, another waters, somebody else reaps. How do you know you're not winning souls? Because you're not gathered, you're not having big meetings, and you're not getting a line that comes up and says, you know, I'm confessing my faith in Christ today. I'll be honest with you. I get a newsletter from a brother regularly, a missionary brother, And almost, you can almost guarantee every letter will tell you how many new converts he's got to the faith. And it's important that he does that for the missionary board that he is sort of sponsored by, because they want to see produce, production. They want to see something going on. And I told him, I sent an email back to him, excuse me, and I said, you know, if you're having all these conversions, that area of the world should be Christian. I mean, we're seeing, at the end of every year, we've had 250 new converts. We've had 300 new converts. We're having all these converts. If you're having this kind of conversion productivity, I mean, Christ should be being glorified. That should be, it should be a Christian nation. At least you should have a Christian city. What kind of fruit are you bearing? If you are engrafted in Christ, if the Holy Spirit empowers your life, is God a poor farmer? If you base the lack of fruit on the number of converts that you're seeing, you're limiting where you're looking. What does Galatians 5 tell us the fruit of the Spirit is? You say, I'm not bearing fruit because I'm not seeing people saved. Look elsewhere. Are you becoming more joyful? Are you becoming more loving? Are you becoming more at peace in Christ? Do you find yourself becoming more gentle and more meek? Are you growing in kindness? Do you find yourself ever more strong when it comes to your self-control? Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Are you producing fruit? Is the fruit growing? Is it maturing? Is it developing? But he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. In Romans 9, Paul writes, and he tells the readers, you know what? Not all Israel are of Israel. You're going to have a group that are circumcised, that observe the feasts, that know the law and are obedient to it, but they have no faith. Calvin again said, many are supposed to be in the vine according to the opinion of men who actually have no root in the vine. We have what is called the visible church. And the visible church is made up of everybody who claims to be in it. But not everybody in the visible church is a member of the true church. A branch may appear to be in the vine, according to men. They'll say, oh, they've been baptized. They give their offerings. They do good works. But they're without life. They do not believe Christ. Jesus chose 12 men initially as his disciples. Each of those men worked with the Savior day by day, 3.5 years. They went out on evangelistic tours. They sent him out to different cities to preach the gospel. Judas Iscariot was one of those men. Judas Iscariot was gifted by the Lord to do some great ministries, as were the other disciples. From the outside looking in, Judas was one of the guys. He was a part. He was a member, if you would, of that group. But Judas had no root in the vine. Judas said, "This is a great gig." Judas had a real liking for money. And wasn't it interesting that Jesus made him treasurer of the group? And Judas, in his thinking, said, "This guy is going to come in. We're going to kick the Romans out. We're going to assume the leadership of Israel, and I'm going to have a starring role somewhere. Maybe I'll be treasurer of the nation or whatever." That sounds pretty nice. I could probably drive around in a pretty nice chariot. I could live in a nice house. While Judas outwardly appeared to be part of the group, he wasn't. While Judas outwardly was a disciple, there was no root in the vine. He had no faith. He believed in himself. He wanted what was good for Judas. These are what the Father takes away. They look like they're part of the plant, but they're not. They're dead branches receiving no life from the vine. But he says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And the King James adds, he purges it or cleanses it. He does that. He cuts them back, which allows them to bear more fruit. I'm not a farmer. I don't know anything about, much about planting things and making them grow. I know that when trees, you have orchards. If you want trees, orchards to produce more apples, you go in, you cut back some branches once in a while. And it causes them to produce more fruit. My grandfather, Theodore Church, was an expert pruner. I could never understand it. Had nothing to do with fruit, you understand. He had a hedge out in front of his house. And he would go out and he would cut that hedge down to, it was like 6 inches off the ground. I'm saying, ain't no way that's going to live. He was kind of like me, I guess, in some ways, because I don't like trimming hedges either. So if you cut them down that low, not much to trim. It's all right. It's a good deal. He would cut those things down, and they'd always grow. They'd always come right back up, fuller, thicker, whatever. He had trees out behind his house that when he got done pruning those things, you were sure they were never going to live. I mean, there's these big stumps hanging out of the ground. And every year, the catawba trees, the leaves would just burst out of there, and they would grow. And he had a grapevine. Out behind the one garage, he had a grapevine back there. And the same thing. He would go and prune it, and it produced more grapes, which enabled my grandmother to make some fantastic jelly. He prunes. He cleanses. That refers to this thing we call sanctification. It's this ongoing, it's this lifelong cleansing that sometimes hurts. See, I've never been a tree. But I would think getting my limbs cut would hurt. I am a person with a sin nature who understands that, you know, there are sometimes I spread off into some things. They got to be cut off. You can't have certain associations. You can't do certain things. You got to cut back. If you want to be more fruitful, you have to be cut back a little. That's what God does for us, for His glory, for our benefit, because He loves us. And He wants to see much fruit. He wants to see us bearing. If, indeed, if we are in Christ, we should have a natural desire to please Him. We should have a natural desire to bear fruit. Because we have a new nature. The old one still hangs on. It's kind of like a zombie, you know. The old one wants to get out there and devour us. But we do have a new nature that wants to be pleasing to God, that wants to serve Him, that wants to bear fruit, that wants to bring our Father glory. If we're rooted in Christ, it is His strength. And it is His power, and it is through His Word that enables us to overcome. These are the things, that's how we do it. Not because we're smart, not because we can get it all figured out. It's through the power of Christ in us. That's how we do it. He said to the disciples in verse 3, He says, you guys are already clean because of the Word. He says, you know what? You are already justified because you have had faith in my word. But even the disciples were going to get to enjoy this thing we call sanctification. Even the disciples were going to continue to grow, to produce, to bear. And He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. What does it mean to abide? To dwell. To rest. To remain unmovable in Christ. Is there a better place to live than in the one who gives life? You say, Lord, I want to do these things. I want to be a bearer of much fruit. But I understand I can't without your help. Is there a safer place to live than to abide in Christ? Is there a better way to make that desire happen? He says, abide in me. And then He gives you this little bit of encouragement. He says, and I'm going to abide in you. You see, you don't have to gin it up on your own. You don't have to make it up. It's not all about you. It's about Him in you. I say, oh, I'm, see the fruit. I'm not bearing any fruit. I don't know how I'm gonna. What am I gonna do? How am I get up tomorrow? How am I gonna manufacture this thing? And that's such bad thinking. You're not gonna manufacture it. You're not gonna do it on your own. It's not on your shoulders, and neither can it be. You can't bear the fruit by yourself. And yet, that is what you are to do. Bear the fruit. And you will. If you are engrafted in Christ, Christ lives in you, that's your desire. It's not you that's making the fruit, it's God that's making the fruit. You will do it. You will do it. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are engrafted into the one that gives the power, that one that gives the life, that one that makes the fruit grow. He who abides in me and I in him bears a little bit of fruit. A smidgen of fruit. Enough fruit that you can just get a nice little whiff. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You say, Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to be I want to be your servant. I want to do what it is you've got for me to do. Thank you for not putting the whole pressure on me to do it. Thank you for making me a usable branch. Thank you for letting me be a vessel to your glory. And he, through you, will bear much fruit. Sole Deo Gloria. For God's glory alone. Let's pray.